Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your host and garden expert. I love to help people with their gardening questions, all of their landscape problems, and help with design, whatever you need to make your yard look beautiful. And it is a beautiful morning. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am fantastic. The weather is cooler. I was walking around yesterday and there was a cool breeze. There was a change in the air and something happened this morning that's going to affect us for the next 69 days. Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure.
So this morning at 2:50 a.m., fall started. Ooh. And so on the eastern coastline, Eastern Standard Time, 2:50 a.m., and everyone knows that we see changing color of the trees, which is happening, even in Florida, and the temperature drops. We're a little bit lower than we're supposed to be here in Central Florida. We're supposed to be up around 85, 86, and it's going to be in the low 80s, so that's really good. Less humidity, and the daylight shortens. It's going to start getting darker and darker, and so that's incredible. I love seeing that. So I posted a few things on Facebook that will help you with your fall color. It shows the weeks. I have a post that shows the weeks of fall color peak, when it's going to be at its highest and in all the different states. So no matter where you are in the United States and even Florida, you can see when the peak of fall will be there and the colors will be so incredible. So autumn starts, and it's according to Greek mythology, where when Persephone, she is the Greek goddess of spring, she returns to Hades in the underworld. And her mother, the goddess of grain and harvest, Demeter, is heartbroken. So she lets the earth's crops perish until her daughter returns in the springtime. So that is where our mythology brings us fall. It's a time of the year when monarch butterflies travel from the United States to Mexico and portions of Southern California. And they do that at this time every year. They can fly at speeds of up to 12 to 25 miles per hour. And monarch butterflies are the only insects that migrate 2,500 miles every year to a warmer climate.
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't it? 25 miles an hour is like doing a car and a golf cart. I mean, that is incredible.
I don't think we can run that fast, can we? I mean, those of us that are not athletes.
Yeah. And so the full moon is closest to the fall equinox, is known as the harvest moon. And before the invention of artificial illumination, electricity, it was critical to a farmer's crop success. And they had to understand these moon cycles. And so leaves during the fall stop generating chlorophyll. And that's the green pigment that helps them catch sunlight to power photosynthesis. And so in reaction to the cooler temperatures and less light in the fall, the leaves' other colors, such as yellow and orange carotenoids and bright red anthocyanin, come through as the green fades. So they're there all year round, but we don't see them until the chlorophyll stops producing. And so right now we're seeing sycamores and sweet gums and cypress trees changing. Maples are starting to turn. And even the crepe myrtles are starting to turn. So I'll be posting fall trees. I always like to collect the trees changing color here in Florida. And we don't realize that we do have a fall and that the trees are changing because our elevations, our topography is so flat. And we don't have as many of the deciduous trees here in Florida that they do up in the upper portions of the Southeast, North Carolina, the Appalachians, the Smoky Mountains, and up near the fall in the Midwest and in Northwest. So I am looking very forward to seeing these colors change. It always brings about a change of seasons in my feelings, and gardening is so much better when the temperatures are cooler. So let's see. So raking the lawn. So as the leaves are starting to fall, should you take the leaves off of your lawn? Yes. You don't want to cover up your lawn. You want to be able to see, get the blades to have sunlight. You can rake them off and put them underneath your, you know, your landscape beds, your shrubbery, and put them in the compost pile so that you have good soil for the springtime. You don't want to throw them away. You want to actually use them, and that will reduce the cost of buying mulch. And so it's much better for you, the soil, to have the leaves going into the ground and or added to the compost pile. And you could just take them and run them over with the lawnmower, but have a bag on it. And then that way you can take the bag of shredded mowed leaves and just, you know, just toss it underneath your landscape beds. And that's going to be incredible. Now, fall is also the time to plant wildflower seeds. You want to plant the seeds in mid-September to mid-October in North Florida. Sow it in, sow seeds in mid-October through December in Central Florida. And then plant the wildflower seeds in November through January in South Florida. This is a time to do it. The conditions for wildflower meadows, you need to have few to no weeds. Weeds in a wildflower meadow are a bane. They're not good. So you want to start off with an area that doesn't have weeds. It's got to be sunny for at least 6 hours a day. And your soil needs to be well drained, which means throughout the site, you should be able to use a kind of stick to penetrate the soil for at least 6 inches so that the water can perk out. And that is going to be a good soil for wildflower meadows. I'll come back and we're going to talk about your gardening questions. Had a lot this week, so I'm going to tackle those from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, it's Saturday morning. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. You can give me a call with your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. That's 1-888-455-2967. And Lizzie will put you right on the board. This is a day, the hour that is going to be all about you and your gardening questions. But I wanted to follow up on the wildflower seeds, because so many of you would like to have wildflower meadows or some wildflower flowers in your garden to attract the butterflies. So your goal is to have your seeds germinate quickly, all right? And that's going to be the important part, because you don't want it to stay too wet or planted too deep and they never germinate. So you need seeds, wildflower seeds need three things. They need water, appropriate soil temperature, and oxygen. And we have all of that in Florida. You don't want to plant them too deep, about a quarter inch deep. That's all. And just lightly take your hand and brush over them. And you can get Florida wildflower seeds. Check out the website at floridawildflower.org. And that's F-L-A wildflowers with an S dot org. floridawildflowers.org. And check out fall planting. And that's so that we can have the wildflowers blooming in the springtime. So this is the time to do it. And you would want, that way it's going to be beautiful and you'll have plenty of great, beautiful flowers for the butterflies and pollinators in the springtime. So contrary to popular belief, squirrels who have spent their entire autumn collecting acorns and other foods, they do not hibernate in the wintertime, not even up north. They are active all year round, and they spend the majority of their winter in their nest that they build in the trees, and that shelters them from harsh weather. When squirrels do come out in winter, they're usually tunneling under the snow up north or running around looking for food and looking for acorns. One 1998 study by the University of Richmond found that squirrels fail to recover 74% of the acorns that they plant.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And so that's, they don't really find the ones that they worked so hard on the following year. But this is likely the best way we get oak trees in our forest. So, you know, that they don't collect or find all of those acorns is a benefit to us.
There you go.
And that the trees are, the trees do germinate. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680 and let Lizzie and I know what you're drinking this morning. I have my cup of tea, which is always delicious. Lizzie, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a protein shake with instant espresso dumped inside of it because I hate my gut. I went to go tip it in, and then like half of the jar fell in. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be really caffeinated and not sleep for 3 days.
Let's see how fast the show goes.
Right. We have to run out.
There you go. And so Bill in Central Florida, he sent an email, and he said he asked about his declining pineapple guava. Now, what Bill did was really good because he sent me a great photograph of the entire tree from the ground all the way up to the top of the tree, and I was able to look at it. And I think I can help Bill. And so if you'd like to send an email with a picture, you can do it through the website, Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can just email me from my website, which is she-consulting.com, or you can just Google me, Teresa Watkins, and just put S-H-E and gardening, and it'll come up. Or you can email me directly at teresa.watkins@live.com. And that's Teresa without the H. And so Bill says, hello, Teresa. It looks like our feijoa tree, which is the other common name for pineapple guava, is declining. And I wonder if it can be rescued. We had another one and we lost it. And he says, thank you for all you do for spreading the gospel of gardening. Wow. That's really nice, Bill. Thank you. And so you did send a good photograph, and it looks like your pineapple guava is planted in sand without any mulch and without any kind of irrigation except maybe the turf irrigation that may hit it. And so it's fruit trees, no matter what kind of tree it is, all fruit trees need to have consistent watering and may need watering more than 2 times a week. And so that's when you can hand water it just to get it through those times that we do have drought, possibly in the late springtime, and which we did have this year. So it looks like it's declining because of the stress of no water. And it could be because the roots kind of over the drought in the winter and spring may have desiccated, and so there's not a lot of root system there anymore. But what I want you to do is I want you to amend the soil, Bill, around it, because it looks very sandy. And so and it's very clean. There's no weeds around it, which looks good. And you can see that you have a kind of a flare at the bottom of the tree, so it's not planted too deep. But I want you to amend the soil with 2 parts compost and 1 part black cow. Okay, so whatever that equivalency is for you, 2 parts of compost and 1 part black cow. And then I need you to add the 3 inches of mulch to the bed. All right. And then that's going to hold the moisture in the ground longer and give that pineapple guava time to absorb it. Okay. It's not going to leach out. It's not going to evaporate. And then if you want to fertilize it, I would wait till springtime. And make sure it gets about 2 inches of water a week. So if we don't get the rainfall, you do want to make sure that you're hand watering it. And so thank you for sending in the photograph. Let me know how it does. I just think it's stressed out, and what you're seeing is the result of what happened this spring, because we've gotten a lot of water and enough water from, you know, August through September so far. But I think that's just what you're seeing, is that it's just declining because of what happened in the springtime. And we see that. We see trees and shrubs declining a year and 2 years later. And it's because of the damage that was done during drought periods that was previous. So it's good to know. Now I have a Mr. Stewart who wrote in about his pitcher plant, and he loves them. And he attached a picture of it. He received it in the mail a few weeks ago. And he planted it in a small clay pot. And his question is, the plant that he saw at the plant show had nice green leaves, and he thinks it's a Nepenthes albomarginata. Nepenthes are wonderful pitcher plants. They're gorgeous. It receives direct southern light, and the pitchers on his plant, and when I say pitchers, I'm meaning kind of like the vase that it, you know, makes the whole plant. The stem is a kind of vase that holds water, so that kind of pitcher, P-I-T-C-H-E-R. And they're starting to shrivel, and will his plant generate new ones? He said he fed it a mixture of water and dry bloodworms. I'm so thankful you were so detailed in your description, Mr. Stewart, and that's wonderful. I can really help you. And so the tips of your leaves look a little burned, and it's probably from the blood meal and being too dry. So other than that, it looks fine. But what I need you to do is Nepenthes albomarginata is from Borneo, okay? That's where it is endemic, native, and that Borneo is a tropical rainforest. So it's used to being wet and humid. So inside your house is going to be a little too dry, so you have to raise the humidity around the plant. And you can even put the plant in a small glass terrarium, and keeping that moisture inside that terrarium would be beneficial. So here's what I need you to do. You need to keep your pitcher plant out of direct sunlight. You can have bright light from morning sun for about 4 hours. That's good. I need you to change the pot to a plastic pot. The clay is going to wick the water away from the plant, and it's going to dry out, and it's going to retain the minerals in the water and in the soil, and you don't want it to do that. You want to plant your Nepenthes in one part perlite and one part sphagnum moss, and then place the pot on a small platter or a little plate of rocks, little pebbles, river rocks, so it looks pretty. And you make sure that the platter can hold water. You only want to use distilled water with pitcher plants, not water from your faucet, okay? And then the soil always needs to be wet. So fill up that plate with, keep the humidity going around the plant, and then water the soil. Never put water into the pitcher, and you can sprinkle water like around the soil atop of it, which is fine. And then you want to feed it insects, fish food, freeze-dried bloodworms like you did every 2 weeks. Now, any ladybugs or crickets or flies you find around your windowsills or outside in the yard, just collect them in a pill box, you know, a little pill jar and a bottle that's, you know, with a cap on it, and just place them in that and then carry that with you. Or you can purchase pitcher plant food. And you know what? Nepenthes love termites. So if you see any termites, you can feed it to your pitcher plant. So I hope that helps, Mr. Stewart. Thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And, you know, just let me know how your pitcher plant, your Nepenthes albomarginata works. So if you're having a gardening question, I would love to talk to you. You can even brag about your garden, how well it's doing, what kind of vegetables you're growing. I brought Lizzie this morning some tomatoes and peppers.
Yes, and I have some questions about
and
them.
Arugula. Okay. And so you can ask me all your questions. They're all labeled. Full sun, you know, 6 to 8 hours. And then you got to use them. You got to cut the arugula and put it into salads. And then the tomatoes will grow and you'll have that. Mm. We have some more great gardening questions coming up. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let me know my text is working, and I'd love to hear from you. Remember, perfect text message is your name and where you live. Just the city location is great and your first name. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, I would love to hear it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. This week, Central Florida got a lot of rain. between, let's see, we received on Wednesday that big rainfall, 2.5 inches in Orlando at our house. And then the next day we received about another 1.5 inches. So it was really wonderful to see it, and it helped quite a bit. So if you're getting the rainfall, that would be great. We're in drier weather this weekend, and which is nice for the weekend, so you can go enjoy the beach and things. And so just take advantage when it does rain. Make sure your irrigation is not going on at the same time. Get an inch of water a week from rainfall. No need to have your irrigation system. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Teresa. I'm fine. I couldn't believe what you were just saying because that ties in with my question.
Okay.
Thursday night, we had 2.5 inches of rain, a frog strangler for us, and because we're so far behind in rainfall. But anyway, Friday night, what goes off but my lawn sprinklers? Now, in our community, we have rain sensors, and I would think that 2.5 inches would keep that rain sensor off for the next 24 hours, wouldn't you?
I would think it would keep it off for longer than that. So here's what's happening. Okay, there's three things, and one happened this week, so I'll talk to you about that in just a second. But one is that the rain sensors are not set properly. Okay, so they may not be set at all for any kind of amount of rainfall that will shut it down. So you got to check and make sure your rain sensor is working and that it's set to an inch to 1.5 inches. You have to physically or manually set it to be at a certain height. And once we reach that height, then it shuts down the system. Okay? Mm-hmm. The other thing is that it could be in a location that's not conducive to getting all the rain, so that it's blocked by either trees or a building or something that will prevent the water from going into the rain from any direction. So that's where you need to find out where it's located. And then sometimes we just have rain, but it's not enough to shut it down. So those are the three reasons why your system will go on, especially when we've had enough rain. So we have to check those. And just to, you know, kind of validate that, this week I was at a home, and this is a custom multi-million dollar home that has their air conditioning unit on a pad surrounded by the walls. It's tucked into a nook into the house, and they have their rain sensor on the wall up 6 feet from the wall, surrounded by three sides of the house that are two stories.
Yeah.
And so that rain sensor is not going to ever get enough rain to shut it down, because it's blocked and it's not at the right location. And so what was interesting about it was a wireless rain sensor, which is what you should be getting because they're the easiest, and they usually have controls that you can work from your phone or your computer. Mm-hmm. And it was right above the controller. Now, rain sensors that are wireless can work 300 feet away from their controller box. And so why wasn't it put on a location on the eve of the house where it wasn't, where the rain could get in? So are any of those situations what you see in your community?
Yeah, I've been working with my landscape contractor for months on this one issue, and he told we moved the rain sensors to definitely an open spot, and he said he set them to minimum so the least amount of rain would shut it, and it's not happening. So it tells me that there's some wiring or something going on, and I'm going to follow up with him Monday. But
yeah, how old is it? How old is it?
Well, there you go. See, the system, total system, is probably 18 years old.
Okay, so that tells me right there. Yeah, it just needs to be replaced. And so yeah, that's a good thing that you have a landscaper that will work with you on it. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that information. Enjoy your show, Teresa.
Thank you so much, Mike. You have a great day. Bye-bye. And so that's Mike from Venice. And then let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. Thank you for checking in.
Hello. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm fine. I have something to tell you, and you'll never believe it.
Okay. I've got open ears.
We had a hawk that I guess he was trying to land somewhere, but he hit the side of my house. scared all the birds in my bird feeders. This hawk was humongous.
Oh, my goodness.
He hit the side of the house, got up, and then flew off.
Wow. He probably, his head was probably spinning like in the cartoons, the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. He probably was seeing stars. Oh, my goodness gracious. I wonder if he was going after one of the birds in your bird feeder or your bird.
I have no idea, but he didn't get any of them that day.
Yeah, they're predatory, and they're good. I mean, like, they keep the rodent population down. They, you know, they eat snakes and, you know, small little creatures, and they do get small birds sometimes. So that's interesting.
I know there's a million chickens running around. But I wish you would get one of those roosters.
I appreciate that. You know, the roosters are probably a little bit too big for him, and so
I wish he would get them anyway. I pay him.
Did you now in Polk City? Did you get a lot of rain this week?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good.
And it is absolutely beautiful out.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what's blooming in your yard right now?
My lantana, those stadium, I can't remember the name of them, the ones that get the red top on them.
The sedums? And, yeah, the yarrows?
Yes.
Okay.
And, oh my gosh, the lantana is growing like a weed. They are just beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know the butterflies and pollinators will like those. That's
yes,
beautiful.
And, you know, I still have the fire bush, and they're all over that. I have zinnias, and they're all over the place, my zinnias.
Do you save the zinnia seeds?
They seed themselves.
That's what I was wondering. You know, they do self-seed very easily, so that's great.
Yes, they do.
Eileen, thank you for checking in and for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Take care, hon. We're going to be right back with more of your calls. Linden Zone 8B, you're up next. And if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and if you would like to hear a podcast about integrated pest management that I talked with on with Greg Peterson with the Urban Farm, you can go to our Facebook page and click on it. And I thank Greg for asking me to talk about integrated pest management using where you're not having to use chemicals so much in the landscape. And so if you're wanting to be a little bit more organic using less of the harsher chemicals, you want to listen to the Urban Farm podcast on integrated pest management. And I'll have that on there. So, in Orlando, I was gifted with a 5-foot-tall mango tree in a pot. Can I plant it in the ground now or wait till spring? I would go ahead and plant it in the ground now. It's 5 feet tall. It's going to grow probably another, 4 to 5 inches before wintertime comes, and it's still small enough that you can put a frost blanket over if you need it. So go ahead and plant it now, and congratulations on your new mango. You will enjoy that, I know. And so I have a text message that says, Eileen can send the hawk my way. I need as many as possible for rodent and squirrel control. However, my German Shepherd works great for rats, but occasionally I have to knock a squirrel or two off so they feel like they've gotten a reward. Oh, I guess that's good. So Linda in Zone 8B sent in two very good photographs for identification, and she says, my niece from Mississippi asked me what this is. And so, Linda, thank you for writing and listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I love that. Tell your niece that her photo, the plant in her photo, is called Mexican petunia. It is Ruellia simplex, which here in Florida has been labeled invasive. And it is. It's not only aggressive, but it just keeps growing and growing and spreads. But in Mississippi, which is zone 7A to 7A to 9A, the winter gets cold enough to probably prevent this flower from spreading too much and becoming invasive. So it is Mexican petunia. Now, your second photograph is a photograph of the Florida native beauty berry, Calocarpa americana, and it's a wonderful, beautiful native shrub that gets to be about 4 to 5 feet tall and has fuchsia, deep fuchsia berries on them. And they're so beautiful during the wintertime, and they're wonderful for birds and wildlife. So your neighbors are going to be happy to know that the berries are edible. She asked if the berries were edible. And there are recipes online that you can make jelly from the deep fuchsia berries. And I've posted them on our Facebook page. So you can see the recipe for beauty berry jelly. And so while you're on our Facebook page, go ahead and like us and give us 5 stars. We would love for you to do that. And thank you for asking and sending those wonderful pictures. I love beauty berries. They're kind of bland for me, but I guess when you make jelly, you add sugar to it and get it to be nice and thick. And
yes.
So, you know, I guess that works. But it's a pretty color. I love that. And so what can you be planting right now in your vegetable garden? Okay, well, I'm still growing tomatoes and peppers and leeks and arugula. And you can start planting broccoli and Brussels sprouts, cabbages and celery, collards and endive, and lettuce, mustard, onions, radishes, strawberries, and turnips. Now, if you're getting scallions or little, green onions from the grocery store, when you cut off the root portion, stick that root portion in a pot and put it out in full sun, and it will grow another little spring scallion for you. And so they're lots of fun to grow, and you can see it popping right up. The same thing with your onions. Cut off the root portion. It will make another one, and it takes a little bit longer, but you can recycle that way. And when you're growing your plantings, you can, go ahead and make cuttings from it and share with your friends and neighbors. Herbs, this great time to be planting herbs. And, of course, Thanksgiving and the holiday seasons are coming up, so it's a great way to use your herbs. You can plant anise and basil, bay laurel, borage, chives, coriander, dill, and lemon balm, lavender, and Mexican tarragon. I love tarragon.
Yes.
Yes, with béarnaise sauce. Tony always tells me, don't get saucy with me, Bernays. And so, and then mint. How's your mint doing?
I uprooted it all. Do you know, and I know you know, but listeners, whenever Teresa tells you to be careful of planting something because it will multiply and take up about 2 acres underground, it took up, not 2 acres, but probably I pulled and rolled up at least 50 foot, and this is not exaggeration, 50 feet of the vines underneath, the roots underneath. Yeah. I had to roll it to get it up. It was crazy.
And don't you, because it was chocolate mint, and don't you just want to have a Girl Scout cookie? While you're...
I did. I did. But I also had pineapple mint. Yes. I had sweet mint. I had pepper. I had them all the mints. Basically all the mints. But I'm telling you what. Boy,
you're over mints.
Yes. Whenever, when Teresa tells you something, you probably should listen to her.
And so, okay. So more herbs are parsley and rosemary, sage, sweet fennel, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And those are all great herbs to grow. Very easy to grow. You want to grow them in full sun, especially the rosemary, your Mediterranean herbs. They need the sunlight. And but with the cooler temperatures, they'll do really well. And so I love to use them. So we have Colette in Winter Haven. Perfect text message, Colette. I love it. She's in Winter Haven, and she needs a fast-growing evergreen shrub to hide unsightly building and block noise. What do you suggest? And I suggest Podocarpus. Podocarpus will get nice and big, and the weeping podocarpus is pretty, and it's pretty as a tree. But podocarpus will get big and provide you the block you need to for the noise barrier, but it's also evergreen, and it looks pretty. And so that is one of my favorites. Another fast-growing shrub or tree I would do is a cedar. So it just depends on how much room you have, Colette. If you send me a picture of the location, I can tell you which ones are better for the size. You can also do pine trees, Arizona cypress, and then also you can always do the, you know, the normal everyday cookie cutter ligustrums and viburnums that you can use, and they're everywhere, so you can use those. One of my other favorites is pineapple guava, which I mentioned earlier. And pineapple guava, you can get fruit from. It has a beautiful red and white flower on it and silver green leaves. And it can be made into a tree or kept as a shrub. It'll grow probably 8 to 10 feet tall, either one as a shrub or as a tree, small little tree. And I like that one. So depends on what you want. But fast growing, the pineapple guava, podocarpus, and any cedars? Great question. Thank you so much. And the beautyberry leaves, someone texted in, can be masticated and rubbed on the skin for a natural mosquito repellent. Yes, it can. And but it's just one of those things. It's kind of like the citronella that you have to literally destroy the plant, you know, to crush it and squeeze it and get the oils out of it to help you, be mosquito repellent. And so just to have the plants around your yard doesn't really help. It's better to get rid of the water in the area, any kind of standing water. And we're going to be talking about that with Randy Schultz coming up. And he's the editor of Home Garden and Homestead. And he's going to be helping us out because, you know what, mosquito season is always here. And there are solutions, and they're very cost-effective and best for the environment. So Randy Schultz is coming up. I always love having him on. He's an old codger, and he knows a lot, and he's got a great website for gardeners, and we'll be talking about that, so stay tuned. So flowers that you can be planting right now, of course, the ageratum, angelonias, and begonias, blue days. I saw the most beautiful blue days this week at a nursery I was walking through. Gorgeous. And I found some Fatsia japonica, and it was mislabeled. And one of the things you got to be careful of is sometimes nurseries don't know the plants that they have. And it was labeled one thing, and it wasn't. So, but I had to buy them anyway because I knew what they were. And so the Fatsia japonicas, and then I also bought the Thunbergia King's Mantle, which is a wonderful shrub with deep purple tubular flowers that hummingbirds and butterflies love. It grows in full sun, makes a great, great shrub for a hedge. It's just a beautiful plant. It gets to be big. It'll get to be 6 to 8 feet wide. I'm hoping mine will. I've got a little bit more shade than it needs, but we'll see how it goes. But the deep purple, just think of the name, King's Mantle. How royal that sounds. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
While you're waiting for Teresa to come back, why don't you go check out our website, WFLAOrlando.com. We have really cool happenings on there, WFLAOrlando.com.